I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Abobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
What a blessing. Wahoo! It's a blessing to be here. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Amen. Well, today is International Sunday, just so I can see you. Okay. All right. Today is International Sunday, and on International Sunday, we seek to draw everyone's attention to the world beyond what they're used to. Amen. That there is more to what God is expecting of you than what you are ordinarily used to. Oh, by the way, I'm wearing this. John Jack sent it to me. So I suppose it's from Côte d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast, right? Yeah, so it must be. But I'm enjoying it, especially the free ventilation, extra ventilation. So it's a beautiful garment, and I'm enjoying it. Amen. Now, usually the language people speak, the clothes they wear, the food they eat, and the songs they sing usually defines a culture. And that's why we're having songs and we're having clothes and languages. And I hope that there's food also after this. Amen. But it is important that as Christians, we develop a world vision and develop a world view, because our God is a God of the whole world. Hallelujah. John 3:16, which is the most famous Christian verse, says that God so loved the world. God so loved the world. Can you see that? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So the whole world is loved by God. Amen. And his only begotten son was given for the whole world. Amen. God loves the whole world because God created the whole world. You know, if you had 5 children, you would love all of them. Do you see? But their friends, your children's friends, would love those individual children. Do you see what I'm saying? What I mean is your friends are not you're friends with people and not necessarily their siblings. Oh, can you fix this, please? Hallelujah. It was working. Somebody did something. I think it was working when I started, right? Yeah, so someone did something. Can the person undo what they did? Hallelujah. But what I'm saying is that we get to pick and choose who we like and who we would like to relate with and who is our friend, etc. Out of families. So you see, out of a family of 5 children, one of them is your friend. But the parents, you know, the father of or mother of that family loves all 5 of them. You just love one of them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes. So usually the one you love is the one you have interest in And that is the one who is your friend. But the one who gave birth to them can see good in all of them. And therefore, he loves all of them. So when it comes to people and comes to human beings, God who created all of us loves all of us. We select and pick. And we say, I like this one. I don't like this one. This one is good. That one is bad. But our Father who created us loves all of us, whether we're white or black, regardless of what language we speak, what food we eat, how we dance, how we clothe ourselves. Is it not interesting that we don't all eat the same thing, but we all get to live and be alive from what we eat? That tells you that God didn't put all the good nutrients in one place or one type of food. That there are more sources of vitamin A, B, C, D than can be found just where you are or in what you're used to. Do you understand? Now, that is a message. That means there must be more good from other places and other sources than what you know and what you're used to. In John chapter 4, there is a very interesting passage here in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, Jesus meets a woman, and verse 7 says, well, let's read from verse 6. It says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the ninth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith to her, give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Now look at verse 9. Says, then saith the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh me of drink, which I'm a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. This is the kind of world we live in today. People, groups, separated, you know, by prejudice, bigotry, racism, and things like that, you know. So the woman is seeing Jesus, and Jesus is asking her for water to drink, and she's saying, you know, how dare you ask me for something? How dare you ask me, you being, and she says, the reason is because you are a Jew. And I am Samaritan. And Jews don't do Samaritans. Jews don't go with Samaritans. Jews don't ask Samaritans for anything. Because probably Jews feel superior. Or Samaritans, as the case may be, may feel superior. But everybody is swollen with pride and deception, as though all the devils are in one place. Do you understand? Yeah. And so Jesus answered, gave an interesting answer in verse 10. Jesus said to the woman, if you knew the gift of God, if you had any understanding of the sort of gifts that God gives to people, if you understood the gift of God, then he says, and who it is that saith to you, give me to drink? He said, you would have asked me to give you water. Can you understand that? Now, can you change the version so, you know, it is International Day friendly? All right. Just look at it. Give. Good. He said, Jesus answered to her and said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. He would have given you something higher than what you think you have to offer. You see, many times we don't understand or we don't know that actually there are higher things that are in the other group. Are you getting what I'm saying? That the higher things sometimes are actually in the other group. And when you allow, you know, racism and, you know, bigotry and other things like that to separate us, what it does is it keeps us from the good things. And that's why Jesus said, you don't understand the gift of God. If you know, you know, how God distributes gifts, if you know how God's blessings work, one of the things, he said to her, if you understood, you know, the gifts that God gives, you would be asking me for something. You'd be asking me to give you what I have and not that I would be taking something away from you. People are always on guard because they feel someone wants to take something from them. And that's what the woman was doing. You know, when you read the story, you see that this woman had had multiple relationships. She was used to people taking things from her. So when she met Jesus, she felt, here is another person who wants to take something from me. Here is another person who wants to cheat me. Here is someone who wants to swindle me. Someone who wants to take something out of me. And you see, he's using a popular line, can you give me some water to drink? Some of you single guys should try this line to see if it'll work. But when Jesus asked the lady for water, the lady thought, you know, I recognize this line. And she immediately started to respond and to react. And she said, you know, people like you don't talk to people like me. People like me have no dealings with people like you. But it is one of the worst things that you can do to your life. The reason is that you can miss the gift of God. You can miss someone that God is placing in your life to be a gift to you. People are gifts. God gives gifts of people. Hallelujah. Gifts of people. People who can introduce you to a new way of looking at life, a new way of thinking, a new way of living. What you're used to is just your own small group. Do you get it? Yes. And if it is evil, there's evil found in every group. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. See, there's an interesting verse in let me read that verse with you. I think you'll find this verse interesting. Apostle Paul was complaining about some people. Titus chapter 1. Look at Titus chapter 1 and verse 10. He said, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. Okay? Many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Right? Verse 11. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Now, verse 12, he says, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. Do you see? Right? Now, what I want you to see is that often people are not honest. So it is because people are not honest that they are blinded to the evils that belong also to their group. That if you were honest and sincere, you would realize that there's nothing like one group is a group of devils and the other group is a group of angels. That among the angels, there are devils. And among the devils, there are angels. So you see, Paul was saying that, you know, one of themselves, he says, one of themselves, it took an honest person, you know, who was not prejudiced and who was not so biased and so blinded to, you know, the evils in his group that he wouldn't admit what the group was like. Does it make sense what I'm saying? Yes. So he said, one of them said, look, a prophet of their own. He came from there and he said, we Christians, we are liars. And if we're honest, all of us can say something like that about our group. All of us coming from different places can say, people from my country are like this. Not only good things, people from my country are like this. He said, one of their prophets said, look, the Christians are always liars. He said, don't trust them. He said, they are evil beasts. And they are slow bellies. I don't know what that means. They have a belly that doesn't move fast. Maybe. Their food doesn't digest. That's a slow belly. Lazy gluttons. They eat a lot. Yeah. See, if you're not honest, you may not easily admit that your group eats a lot. That people from your country like food. And they eat a lot. They overeat. It takes brutal honesty to say my country people are liars. Don't trust them. But you see, that's not the point. Because in every nation, there are evil people. That's why there's a prison in every country. And there are police, law enforcement. Because what we are dealing with is not a problem of nations. We're dealing with a problem of human nature. The Bible says all have sinned and falling short of the glory of God. All of us are capable of evil.
That's right.
All of us are capable of wickedness. All of us are capable. That's why there are people who kill people in every country. In every country there are murderers. In every place there are thieves. Yeah, that's why they sell door locks in every country. Yeah. It's only wrong reason why they sell door locks in every country. Because in every country, there are people who would like to enter your room uninvited. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So if we want to make an impact on the world, then we have to rise above these things and be like God, who is able to look at all the different nations and look at all the different peoples and still see good in them. And still see hope in them. And still see people who can be great. People who can be saved. That is why the Bible says, God so loved the world. The world. The world. The world. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I'd like to see us become a church of nations.
Amen.
I'd like to see us become a church where different people from different places can feel comfortable and feel welcome and not feel sidelined and not feel excluded, but they can all belong to the same big family. And together we preach the gospel to the world, to the world, to the world, to the world. Hallelujah. It's amazing how our founder and our bishop right now is preaching somewhere. Where he's preaching, that's not where he usually is. But God loves people there also. Because a soul is a soul and is precious to God. A Mexican soul is a soul. You understand? See, God doesn't see Mexican or American or what? No, God doesn't see them that way. You just see your children. Do you understand?
Yes.
When you have children and they are different heights and different sizes and so on, all you see is just children. No one is special. God just sees children because we all are created in his image. Actually, for us to properly reflect the image of God, we have to be different skin colors. Otherwise, God has to be black. Or God has to be white. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So for us to properly reflect the image of God, we have to have many different colors. We have to speak many different languages. God is too intelligent to be restricted to English. You know, I was just watching her. You know, how many languages do you speak already? Okay, so if you, that's just one human being, can learn five languages, how many languages do you expect God to be able to speak? So how can we restrict God to one language and say that this is God? That's not the image of God. So the image of God is expressed by many different people speaking many different languages. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If we are truly the creation of God, we should have multiple languages. Yeah. We should have Greek and Hebrew and English and Spanish and Chi and Swahili and Lingala and French, Afrikaans, all the different languages. Together, we make up the image of God. One of the great things about our God is that he doesn't make only one type of anything. Do you see what I'm saying? Even when we human beings create things, we don't make only one type. I mean, if you must drive a Nissan, there are so many different kinds of Nissans you can drive. Do you see what I'm saying? They are all called Nissan. But it can be a Nissan this or a Nissan that or a Nissan this or a Nissan that. So how can we expect God to make only one type of human being? Everybody's black or everybody's white or everybody's brown. No, that's not God. When you look at the trees, God never makes only one type of tree. But for even any one tree that you can identify, you're going to find there are different species and different versions of the same. You take the citrus tree, you see you have oranges, you have grapefruits, you have tangerines, you have lemons, you have lime. I mean, sometimes I've wondered, what is the difference between a lemon and a lime? Was it necessary? You see, but God thinks it's necessary to differentiate between the two of them. God thinks, look, they can both taste sour and bitter, but one can be small and the other can be big. That's a difference in them. God is a God of variety. God is a God of variety. If you don't like variety, you are not properly reflecting the image of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. And even grapefruit. Grapefruit is close to lemons in their taste, isn't it? Yes. But God says, no, this one can be a jumbo size. This one can be big. Yeah. That is God. He makes watermelons. He makes big ones. He makes small ones. Makes some with seeds. Some have no seeds. Different types. When God is making dogs, he makes huge dogs, Alsatians. Then he makes chihuahuas. And poodles. And they're all dogs made by God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is the God we serve. And if you're a child of God, that's how you must think. That's why you must develop a worldview. That's why you must have a mind to travel the world. Some of us don't travel at all. We only go to see people off at LAX and back. be determined to travel.
Amen.
Amen. Some of us live in this country. We've never been to even the other part of the country, the same country, just to go to the other part of the country. You know, yesterday we were at Lady Pastor Michelle's wedding. You know, yeah, nice wedding. You missed it. Yes. But we were over there, and then my wife was telling somebody that people in California probably will have a hard time describing the color green, because all our greens are tainted with brown. So I was saying to her that in California, green is more like greenish brown or brownish green. But when you go over there, then you can see green pure standing on its own. Because it's a different kind of climate. It's a different place. And also when you're on the East Coast, until you come here, you never know that the desert can be beautiful. You never know that brown is actually nice. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So traveling educates you. It makes you a better person. It improves your thinking. It broadens your mind and makes you a much better human being. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so on this International Day, I want you to go home with one thing in mind, that you're going to become a person of the nations. Amen. You're going to celebrate and embrace diversity.
That's right.
And if you have a friend in your life who doesn't come from your country, see him or her as a gift from God.
Amen.
And treasure them.
Yeah.
That they are a blessing from God.
Amen.
He says, you don't know, Jesus said, you don't know the gift of God. That's why you're talking like that. If you knew the gift of God, you wouldn't ask me this question about Samaritan. That God gives, you wouldn't be worried about who's from where and who's from there. Sometimes the best gift that God will give to you is to give you access to someone from a different country. Yeah, someone who has a different view of things. Someone who has been raised up differently. And you need that. If you don't want to repeat sometimes the dysfunction out of which you have grown up, you need to be introduced to something else. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You need to be introduced to something else. Now, let me close with this. You know, there's in farming and animal farming, one of the things they do is they try to bring sometimes animals from another stock to breed with the ones from a particular stock. Because if you don't, what will end up happening is that this group would just practice what we call inbreeding, which is that the mothers will give birth to the sons will cross the mothers, and they'll have more children. And over time, it introduces weakness, and the stock actually dies. The flock completely, you know, dies. That's what happens. Do you understand? If your life is only full of influences from your own small group only, you become like that group of animals. Your life doesn't become great. You can't become anything greater than what you've seen. Do you see what I'm saying? But there are greater things. There are greater things. Jesus told the woman, if you knew what I had to offer to your life, you would be asking me for something. That what I have to put in your life is far greater than anything you can give to me. He said, I asked you for water and you're bringing up all these questions. If you knew who I was, you would be asking me to give you living water that lives. Do you know water that lives? Jesus told her, I can give you water to drink that will never make you thirsty again. You will never, I'll give you one time water drinking, and you will never have to come here again. The woman didn't know anything like that existed. She said to him, give me this water, please. Give me this water. She was bluffing at the beginning. And she was asking, you know, what do you want from me? And that sort of thing. And she was putting up an attitude. But when she saw the gift of God, then she said, you know something? I'm sorry I spoke to you that way. Can you give me some of that water, please? Because honestly, I hate coming here. If you can give me water that will make me not have to come here ever again, I'll choose that. But you didn't know something like that existed until you were nice to a stranger. Until you admitted someone from another culture into your life. Until you admitted someone from another country into your life. Until you tried eating something else from another place. You get it? There are some of us, if we continue eating the type of food we grew up eating, our destiny is very predictable. Yeah. Everybody in your family, in your group, dies from a heart attack. Yeah. But God's gift to you may be life, which is to deliver you from a heart attack by introducing you to something else that is eating in another place, which you are not used to. You don't know that something like that exists. You get it? And you may be surprised that you actually like it. Yeah. You may be surprised that not everything has to be fried. You get it? Yeah, you don't have to fry. You fry everything. You fry even the butter. You fry it. Take the butter, you coat it in something and fry it. The other day I was in some place and they were serving something with some kind of fried cheese. And I was asking myself, how bad do you want this thing to get? Do you get it? On its own, it's bad enough. You get it? Yeah. And now they fried the thing and it's so soggy. And I was just thinking, I mean, how bad do you cook this in the devil's kitchen or what? What exactly is your aim? But you may be surprised that if you have a bit more of an open mind, God will save your life by introducing you to something else, a different way of eating, a new ingredient to add to your food. Something you've never eaten, something you didn't grow up eating. Because that is the gift of God. That is the gift of God. I think God, Jesus was giving us a revelation that we know too little about God's gifts. The gift of God. He said, if you knew the gift of God, you would be asking me for something. Hallelujah. And finally, if we develop a worldview, we'll begin to understand that no one is beyond the reach of salvation. Amen. That Christ's salvation is for everyone. Because what we all have in common is sin. All of us have sinned. The Bible says all have sinned. All are not broke. All are not educated. But all have sinned. All have sinned. Whether they are black or white, all have sinned. All have sinned. When you go to the laundry and you pack your clothes to wash them, you see they are not all the same color, but all are dirty. Is it true or not? Yes. You can even try to separate them into whites and blacks and so on. You separate them, but you know that even though they are separated, all have sinned. All of them. You know, the white shirts together are not better than those black jeans. They are not better. All of them have arrived at the laundry because they have only one problem. And the solution to their problem is one. The same detergent is going to go on all of them. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. The same detergent is what will cleanse all of them. So Jesus Christ is that detergent. And no matter what, where people are from, the solution to our problems is the same, which is the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sins. Hallelujah. And this is the message Jesus wants us to take to the world, to take first to our group and then to take it outside our group. Because he says we must be his witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the utmost parts of the world. Jesus works everywhere. And Jesus works for everyone. Jesus would change every life. Jesus would change every life, just like tide will wash anything. Yes, tide will wash anything. White, black, red, blue, tide will wash it. Jesus will change any life that gives him a chance. Will not matter where they are. Will not matter what they have done. Jesus will change everyone's life. That's the message he's committed to you and I. That's the purpose of this church. That's the message Christ has given to you. Christ has called you and has given you this message of reconciliation to give to anyone who would believe. That's why John 3:16 says, therefore, whosoever believes, whosoever, anyone, Jesus has been given to the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you today? Tell somebody Jesus died for you also. Say Jesus can change your life too. Say Jesus is good for you also. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. If you knew the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God, ask your neighbor, do you know the gift of God? Because if you knew the gift of God, you will put racism aside and tribalism aside. You'll put all those things aside. If you knew the gift of God. Yeah. It is often because you're not schooled in the gifts of God. You don't know what gift God gives. Hallelujah. Some of the greatest blessings of God in your life will be people from different places. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. So I want you to close your eyes this afternoon as we bring the service to a close. And I want you to thank God for all the different people he has placed in your life. Consider them as gifts from God. Gifts from God. Think especially of the people who come from a different place from where you come from. People who are born in different places. People whose parents come from different parts of the world. Think about it. And thank God for all those people. Even for the opportunity to be in this church, whether you're visiting or whether you've been coming to church here. It's a blessing. It's a gift from God. It's a blessing. It's a gift from God. God has given you that gift today. He said, if you knew the gift of God, you would understand that it has more to offer you than take from you. I want you to thank God for all those people. Thank God for the different nationals and the different nations and the different people that God has introduced into your life. The different people you have met, the people you go to school with, the people you work with, the people you have come to know through the years. It is the work of God. It is the gift of God. God is at work. God is doing something in your life. And that's what it is. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit.